Hello, this is Dr. Shiva. Welcome to our podcast, Get Educated or Be Enslaved.
Episode 1688, air date May 1st, 2026.
Okay, good evening, everyone. It's Dr. Shiva Ayadure. Today, we're going to be doing a discussion on why May Day must be an American holiday. And we're going to put it in the context of what's going on as a follow-up to my previous discussion on the dissemination of AI and the consolidation of the means of production. So about, I think, less than about 2 weeks ago, a paper came out written by a professor at Wharton, really looking at what's going to happen as artificial intelligence deploys. And it essentially repeats what I've been sharing for many, many years. But I want to put this in the context of something very, very important that's coming up called May Day. Okay? Some of you may know what May Day is. It's May 1st. In every part of the world, pretty much in most countries. Oh, someone's saying you can't see my video. Hold on. I'm not sure why you can't see video. Put video back on. Is that good? So just to, if we can just bring up the slide again, May 1st is a holiday that's celebrated all over the world. And I believe it must be an American holiday. So let's go back. And the reason that I want to discuss this is in the context of what's going on with the deployment of artificial intelligence, which in the current context is actually aimed, without really thinking about it, by the elites and the swarm, to destroy the working class. That's where it's headed. So anyway, you have people like Elon Musk, if you saw the last video I did, saying that, oh, we're going to have very high income. We're just going to put people on UBI, universal basic income, and that'll solve everything. Well, what it will solve is an interim problem for the swarm. So people will be paid off, essentially be like pets in sort of a golden cage. That's where this is headed towards. Not a golden age, but a golden cage. And it brings up some very fascinating questions about what it means to be human. Imagine this scenario. I think I mentioned Aldous Huxley, who was George Orwell's mentor. George Orwell, you know, wrote, you know, 1984 and all these books. And he said the future was going to be the state would crush you, right, with their boot, and it would be horrible, and people would essentially rise up, right, because people would be oppressed. Aldous Huxley, his teacher, said, well, that's not how it's going to occur. His view was people are going to be anesthetized. You give them pot, you give them food, you give them all the comforts that they need, you know, Netflix, videos, all this stuff, so they get anesthetized. And he felt that was much more dangerous to control people. So that's what Elon Musk wants to do, as I talked about. So the means of production right now is a very important term that means how are things produced. The way things were produced was by human workers. Human beings would make something. You would make a car. You would make a teacup. You would make a sweater. And then these became factories where they manufactured. So human beings were involved in the manufacturing process. And then obviously we introduced machines to make this better. And there was always a concern, oh, machines are going to take over humans. And eventually what happened is there would be some effort that humans would start learning how to build robots, right? And so the question that these researchers asked was, are we just in another, you know, part of the Industrial Revolution where, okay, everyone gets afraid that, oh, this new technology is coming, it's going to replace humans, but it never happens because human beings get allocated somewhere else. So that was really the question that they asked. So if you look at the this paper, I'm just going to summarize it. What they went through was they found that 80% of the workforce could have at least 10% of their tasks affected by these AI tools. And the shift that they saw was, unlike the steam engine or the assembly line, AI is really a general purpose technology. That's what it means, GPT, general purpose technology, that scales in such a way where they said, quote unquote, infinite cheap cognitive labor. Infinite cheap cognitive labor. So this creates massive deflationary pressure on the value of human intellectual output, right? So human beings are valued for their intellect, right? Like a person who ran a marketing strategy group or an accountant, right? So you used to go to people for advice, you know, 401k advice or financial advice. And all of that is essentially being depreciated very, very rapidly. So the study really differentiated, you know, what's going to happen with people being displaced by this. So it turns out approximately 19% of the workers may see over 50% of their tasks impacted. And the interesting thing is, high-income roles are significantly more exposed than manual roles, all right, like plumbers, electricians, et cetera. So AI won't, their conclusion is AI won't replace you, but a human using AI will. So there's going to be two sets of humans, the humans who use AI and the humans who don't, and the people who use AI will replace a lot of humans who don't use AI, okay? So that was one of the key conclusions that came out. But the important thing that also came out was that the nature of modern day swarm economics is that the whole incentive here is to maximize profit, right? And make as much money as you can. So if a company has X number of workers, and then you can move more and more to AI, the incentive is to get rid of those people. But this is what's going to happen. If you get rid of all these people, who's going to buy your products? Right? Because you need money to buy products, right? So if you didn't have UBI, the entire economy is going to collapse, right? Because all these people are going to be displaced. They don't have any more money to buy the products. So here's a company that makes Coca-Cola. They get rid of 90% of their workforce. The guy who worked at the Coke factory, he doesn't have enough money to buy Coca-Cola, right? So this comes under this very interesting problem on who's going to buy the crap that you produce if you've got rid of the people who make that stuff. Okay? Does that make sense? So, and there's an argument that says that as you put in AI, the cost of producing something is going to go very, very low. And therefore, overall costs are going to go down too. So consumers will be able to afford stuff. But the issue is, if the consumers don't even exist, how are they going to afford stuff? And that's why you come with UBI. Does that make sense? So you're going to have to give people money. All right. In that world, what's going to happen is that the most powerful people are going to be even less people who own the data centers. They own the compute. They own the energy production, because all of this AI is going to be requires energy, computation power, software prowess. And in fact, the software itself will be written by the AI. So, and then the next step will be the machines will actually create their own machines and fix themselves. So a robot, and this is not into just the future, you'll have a robot. And then other robots will maintain that robot. In fact, fix that robot. Right? So that's all well and good if you have a society now where all the drudgery is taken away and we can all pursue creative activities. That's one scenario. But the issue is, who owns those means of production? Who owns the data centers? Who's making all these decisions? And how all of these very powerful technologies are going to be used, especially as more and more jobs get taken away, there's going to be less and less companies and more consolidation of power. Does that make sense? So the consolidation of power is going to explosively increased. I was, in fact, on a phone call yesterday with one of the leading CEO level types of a very large company wants to use Cytosol. He goes, how big is your company? I said, well, we only have about 20 people. He goes, really? Because I have 56,000 people and I need to get rid of around, 40,000 of them. Okay. Because he says, we don't know, the future is we can't compete if we have all these human bodies and a company like you can compete with us. Right. Because we're using technologies and software in very different ways. So this is becoming a serious reality, and this is going to accelerate very, very quickly. So what does that have to do with May Day? Okay. Well, the reason May Day came to being, and it came to being in the United States, which 99% of the American public doesn't even know. This is what's amazing. The amount of shit that's been done to manipulate the American public about quote unquote communism, lowercase c, I'm going to put it lowercase c, not uppercase c. If you really look at the history, quote unquote lowercase c communism, the concept of working people organizing, fighting for their rights, is a very American phenomenon. It's independent of China or Russia. And this needs to be acknowledged. The notion of women fighting for basic rights, right? For the 8-hour workday, for organizing unions. This is all very American, highly American. Before, it was in vogue in Russia or other places. It was very much fashionable in the United States. And in 1886, four American workers were hanged fighting for the basic right to have an 8-hour workday in one of the most biggest travesties of justice in the United States. And many people recognize it. That occurred in the United States. Working people organizing, the great upheaval. And again, 99.9% of the American public doesn't even know about this. And in commemoration of those workers who were hanged, workers all over the world honored them, these American workers. And that's what May Day is. I was talking to friends of mine in Europe. Oh, yeah, we're shut down on May Day. Right? It's incredible. So the irony is the American working classes get so screwed over because they're not even aware of the origin of where May Day actually came from. Okay. And it came from people throughout the world honoring these four workers who were hanged. And that was in 1886. And they were considered martyrs by working people all over the world. And so the rest of the world adopted May 1st as International Workers' Day, May Day, because of the American events. I'll repeat that again. All over the world, because of those workers who fought, were persecuted in the United States because of this massive bottoms-up movement of workers, the world honored those workers, and it was called May Day. And the paradox is that the birthplace of the 8-hour movement, which is the United States, doesn't even celebrate its own holiday. Just think about that. Think about how much manipulation and brainwashing that must have gone on to hide the fact that the birthplace of the 8-hour workday, which is the United States in the Midwest in Chicago, is erased from America's history. It's quite incredible the amount of effort that must have gone to change the history books, to re-educate teachers not to talk about it, to manipulate the media, and to silence that discussion, and to just wipe it out. When on May 1st, you'll see there's huge celebrations that take place everywhere in the world, except in the country of 300 million people where May Day actually originated. So you have to really absorb this Very powerful concept. And then we have to ask why. Why is that the case? Right? And before I address that, the issue is the erasure was done by changing May 1st in the United States to Law Day. Okay? And all of this was done because they literally associated May Day with the Soviet Union, okay? And the Red Scare of Russia. So this is how the manipulation, the propaganda took place. They did not want the American working people to know that workers all over the world honored the American workers who fought for the 8-hour workday, which became sort of the standard all over the world. So in order to erase the memory of the American working class of its own great work, they created an enemy, the Soviet Union, Bolshevism, and they drilled it into the American psyche, particularly starting after the 1950s, that the Red Scare, Hollywood people who were supporting quote-unquote communism had to leave the United States. Some people were killed, executed in the United States. And so Eisenhower initially came up with Law Day, and then Reagan formalized it. And the proclamation in 1958 really was to pivot away from May 1st, to diminish the class struggle of working people fighting towards a rule of law. So think about how fucked up this is. May Day was really about the class struggle, right? People fighting against the quote-unquote law, which screwed them over. And they flipped it, and in the United States, they made it Law Day to honor the very people who suppressed those four workers who were hanged in the United States. It's as fucked up as you can get. It's like completely flipping the whole thing. So May Day was created to honor the class struggle of working people fighting against the quote-unquote the law, which was you don't get the 8-hour workday. And you flipped it, and you said, you called it Law Day to honor the very system that hanged these people and attacked working people in the United States. And you have to really wonder why no one discusses this. And the realization is because, as I've said over and over again, the American working class, because of the Constitution and all the things that took place, has the most powerful tools to fight among pretty much any country on the planet. First Amendment, Second Amendment, you go through the whole thing. It's quite powerful. So the American working class, by its hard-fought struggle, has all these amazing weaponry for freedom, etc. So in order to not make them recognize they have all this, which is what they did recognize in the late 1800s and early 1900s, you have to wipe out their history. Okay? So that's what's taking place. And May Day's coming up very shortly. That's why I thought it'd be timely for people to hear this and discuss this. So Eisenhower started this in late 50s, and Reagan formalized it, and he solidified it as a day for legal patriotism rather than labor activism. And now Labor Day, September, that's quote unquote, so they moved the official holiday to September to decouple, you know, labor from the global movements, right? So think about how clever this was. So they realized, oh, people are still going to say, like, where's the day for all of labor? So they moved that to September. But May Day, and the elites did that to make sure that the American workers were completely decoupled from a day that you celebrate all workers all over the world. So no one does that on September. So they wait June, July, August, September. 4 months later, they moved May Day to Labor Day. To Labor Day after September. And so people in the United States separate Labor Day, but it's like Labor Day is basically where you have sales, right? You go buy shit at department stores on Labor Day. You get sales. It's not even connected. or it's after summer, right? You're coming back to school. That's what it's really known for. It's really, really not talked about that this was a day that was manipulated. It should have been celebrated on May, where the American workers would feel their solidarity with workers all over the world. And that's what they don't want, because the American workers would lead the working class all over the world. So this was done very deliberately. Many of you know, we're running for U.S. Senate. Well, it may seem like a trivial thing, but May Day should be celebrated in the United States. It is an American holiday, and it's absolutely wrong that it isn't. And the reason it would be important that it gets celebrated is the American workers would start studying it. They would start understanding their own history. It would be like the amnesia would go away. You know how people get amnesia and suddenly their memory comes back? The American working class would suddenly have their memory come back. Oh, shit, this is who we are. And it's connected to this global workers' movement. So that's why I think I titled it Why May Day Must Be an American Holiday. It's also important to understand all of this is being done because America is a place that is leading in places like Massachusetts. The shift away from factory machines to proprietary AI algorithms. That's what this is going. And how large these AI models are owned by the swarm. These large scale AI models, the big thing is they're really owned by a handful of corporations. And they're really mirror in many ways a Gilded Age monopolies. And the what's emerging in the background, very deep, and it's there, is the anti-labor narrative. And the analysis of how workers' movements are framed as quote-unquote un-American is, despite their deeply, American roots. So that's very much in all of this manipulation. So you have to ask questions. Can AI be really used to bypass collective, bottoms-up movements? And that's one of the goals. So in my view, by educating people on what is May Day, the video I'm doing here and the others that we've done, it's really a way to reclaim to people, what actually took place in the United States. And if AI makes us 10 times more productive, should the workday be 4 hours, right? So as these technologies come, the ideal model would be working people still get to work, but you're not working, 5 days a week, 8 hours, right? Day. Maybe you're working 3 days, 4 hours, right? Something like that. And the wealth is shared by everyone if people are still doing some productive work. But what the swarm wants to do is to eliminate people's jobs, consolidate power, and eventually just keep people around in a, what I call, a golden cage. That's where this is really going towards. So to the extent a finite set of people control all of this, it's really a funny thing to think about, that human beings in their world will become more like pets. You see, so you pay people some UBI. They'll get to live in like these little mini Disney worlds, like on a plantation. And it's really going to sort of mind fuck with people. So you're going to get, quote unquote, what you need. But what are you actually struggling? What are you actually achieving? So these are some very profound questions that are coming up. But the reality is we, the people, don't have a chance to actually participate in this discourse. It's being decided very, very rapidly. And so the notion of working people fighting for their rights, owning the means of production, is what this paper said needs to be discussed. Who owns the means of production? Who owns all these tools that are creating the AI that's displaying, going to displace people? And that's the most fundamental question. And that's why I think by us re-celebrating May Day, it's a very big opportunity for people to start having this discussion. And but May Day is coming up. I think it should be celebrated. I think it should be a national holiday. so people can actually have it. It should be on May 1st, not on September, whenever it is, on Labor Day, because that's the that's the propaganda, the mind manipulation that's taking place. We as a movement have some very important things going on right now. We are running for United States Senate. We're the only candidate that's running for Congress that seeks to educate people on these fundamental issues of what it means to be a worker, what is AI, what is it going to do to us? Because this stuff is moving very rapidly. In my last talk, we laid out our platform about things that need to be done right now to ensure that the means of production and the decisions around that are owned by us. And I have proposed 8 pillars, you know, bills that I would bring up on behalf of all the working people, not only the United States, of the world, because these are important things that need to be discussed openly. So you guys can go listen to that video. If someone can bring up, perhaps Suresh, but we also launched our truthfreedomhealth.com updated website. And if we can bring it up, the goal of this website is we're not here to try to convince people to join some movement, you know, get involved. But what we are doing is, what we recognize is, there's a growing number of people who are seeing, when they go to social media platforms, people just complain. You know, they get views and clicks by this soap opera that goes on. You know, Twitter and many of these platforms have become like the National Enquirer, but in real time, talking about crazy shit, but people complaining all day, people complaining on complaining. And what we have found is those people who come to our movement are already searching. No different than someone saying, wow, I would really like to, you know, make, you know, art on the computer, like, or I would like to, you know, figure out a way to do accounting faster. So they go use QuickBooks or they go use software. They're already looking for tools. So we are not here to convince people, but what we have created is a platform, a system for those people who want to actually start leading and want to change the world. And so if you go to truthfreedomhealth.com, it's free. You can start free. And as we scroll down to the site, there are, the image has 3 things that are important. If we scroll back up, if you want to start leading, you need 3 things. You need theory, how the world works, the science, the community, people, and the network, and you need action that actually delivers solutions. So as we scroll through this next part of the site, the way we've organized this is just to educate people why most of these movements out there fail and why they're designed to fail is because they do not want to teach people the history of how things change, like May 1st, et cetera. They have no theory. It's all talk, no strategy. They have no science. There's no real community. There's people, but no direction, not really connected, trying to figure out what to actually do to move the needle. And there's no coordinated action. We're the real deal, the diamond, and we're a complete system, Truth Freedom Health. It's a system. No different than email is a system. No different than any software platform is a system. And as we scroll down, you'll see that the key things is what actually works. You need all 3. You can go to MIT and learn just theory all day, control system theory. They don't really have a community. They don't really tell you to go do anything with that except maybe go build weapons, okay? They don't really foster a community. And there's no action that you learn what to do with the science that you learn. But we have all 3. So people come to us who are ready, and we're going to teach them MIT level system science. Because without system science, you're screwed. You're going to be in the left, right, pro, anti. One day you'll follow Kennedy. Another day you'll follow Bernie Sanders or Rand Paul. Because you don't really have any framework to understand any of what's going on. You continually get bamboozled. So we have the theory. Then we have a community of people who are alone, global community. And then we actually have solutions, clean food and cytosol and people organizing. So
that's that framework. This is a system. Scroll down. And the other piece that people need to recognize is that we've made it, we give people a path of those people ready. They can start free, they can learn the system, they can become a warrior scholar, and then they can become leaders in their communities. Scroll down. And, you know, people, some people just want to support the movement. So they can do that because everything we've done, the entire platform, the entire system is built by the people for the people. This infrastructure that we've created was created by volunteers committed to Truth, Freedom, Health, right? There's no big funder supporting us. Go down. So we have the programs people can follow, but most importantly, you can also see on this site, and I encourage people to go through it, what others are saying, how others have benefited, working people, teachers, veterans, you know, electricians, et cetera, food service workers. There's no movement like this. Everyday people who are learning MIT type system science, who are organizing communities. But and we, so, you know,
use a piece of software. Okay, you use Photoshop, you can make slides or you can make brochures. Well, what happens when you use our software? Well, you get to stop vaccine mandates. Okay, you use our tool, you get to get on the ballot. You win lawsuits. That's what this engine teaches you. It teaches you how to fight, how to win, how systems work. Scroll down. So that's the use of it. So we're looking for people who actually want to achieve this. And it's not for everyone, right? But if you really are serious of going beyond complaining and doing something, this is the only game in town. So that's what I wanted to share. But May Day is coming. It's an important holiday. It should be practiced in the United States, and people need to understand what it's about. The second thing, if we can go to all the warrior scholars out there, if you can stop sharing, it's really important now. We have about 6 months left, and we need to mobilize all of our warrior scholars, wherever they are, to win the United States election in Massachusetts. And the reason this is important is because people now have the opportunity to flex all the learnings that they've learned, why you need to build a movement, and point that energy at the state of Massachusetts, which is the center of the global swarm. So all of you listening here, we need to get warrior scholars mobilized just 1 hour a day, not every day, take Saturday and Sundays off, but from now until the next 6 months. And we've set up an infrastructure for people to make phone calls. You don't have to go out. You can do it right from the comfort of your own home. In fact, you won't even be charged for your phone call because you're using our tool. No one will know your phone number. So you have anonymity. So we need, like never before, to show the world what happens when a movement comes together and we get us elected for the U.S. Senate. And we are going to address the big issues of our times. Who controls the means of production? And our voice is the only force right now on this planet, as we talked about in the last video, that's addressing this in a practical way. Think about that. Where is the other movement on this planet that is discussing what is going to happen to human workers? Who is consolidating power? No one. And everyone knows that my background as a technologist, as an entrepreneur, as a fighter. And we're in Massachusetts, where the number one technology institute is right there, and Harvard's right there. So we have to win in Massachusetts. We're at an inflection point. Our movement is here. That's what's great. But we have to get every warrior scholar on the phone right now. And they have to, you know, this is where the rubber meets the road, is 1 hour a day. And you don't even have to dial the numbers. You just click a button and it'll connect you to a Massachusetts citizen who wants to talk to you. And your job, if we go to Shiva for Senate, is to get them to pledge their vote for us now. Okay? It's that simple. So everyone listening to this video, wherever, you can be anywhere in the world, by the way. You don't have to just be warriors. Anyone, you can volunteer. And literally within hours, we will onboard you 1 hour a day for the weekdays. Take Saturday and Sunday off, just 1 hour. And we have a chance to profoundly change the direction of humanity by making sure our voice among 100 senators pounds away at them and starts discussing the real issues. Who owns AI? Who owns all this infrastructure? Whose benefit is all of this being done for? We're at a very, very critical point in world history. Other countries, working people, don't really have a chance to discuss this because of the oppressive governments they have. We still have a window of opportunity. So we have to get elected to the US Senate from Massachusetts. So all those people gone through our training, get off your butts. And all those people hearing this video, go to Shiva for Senate and sign up. But we have November's the election. So if you think about it, you have May 1st, we're launching this. We're putting out the call. May, June, July, August, September, October. We have 7 months. Is that 6 months? Sorry. It's 6 months to change the world. And every one of you can be part of that from the comfort of your own home, 1 hour a day for the next 6 months. It's nothing. It's actually nothing. Okay. So it's about 20 hours if you add it times 6 months, you know, about 120 hours. And if you work it out, what is that? Like 5 days worth of work. So are you willing to allocate 5 days to change the course of history? It's up to you. But movement's here. We've mobilized people and we have to get it done. Let's go to video. So that's the message. So we're launching, you know, this effort to mobilize everyone, to give people a taste of what it means to participate. Just 1 hour. Just 1 hour. And get other people to do 1 hour. But we need at least 1,000 people doing this. We need 1,000 people wherever you are to do this. And we will win the United States election for we the people. And we will change the course of history because we're going to address big issues. We will introduce bills. We'll have discussion. That's what needs to happen. Questions? And I really want to let everyone know, you know, I would really like to keep this very practical. If you ask a question, you know, go right now. All of you who haven't done it, go volunteer. If you need help on how to get onboarded, there are leaders here. But honor May Day. Get involved in this movement by actually rolling up your sleeves. We have some people, I understand Joanne Feaster came all the way down to Arizona and she collected signatures. We have people from California have come here to collect signatures to get us on the ballot. People from Kentucky. This is not a Massachusetts U.S. Senate election. This is a global effort. We have people all over the world calling people from Massachusetts to get to win this election. So we got a short window of time, 6 months, 1 hour a day. We've made it easy. We've set up the infrastructure. All you need to do is, you know, go to Shiva for Senate, volunteer, enough theoretical questions, you know. We need practical blocking and tackling, as we say it, okay? We need just repetitive work in a disciplined way. That's what we need. Questions?
Okay, everybody, you can sign up at Shiva for Senate to volunteer. Remember, you don't need to be a warrior scholar to volunteer. That's shivaforsenate.com. And we're going to enable the chat now for questions. So everyone, please put your questions in the chat. Click the chat icon, then press new chat to send your questions to one of the co-hosts or Dr. Shiva. Do not raise your hand. We will only be taking questions if they are sent in the chat. And keep questions to the topic that was discussed. Thank you.
Okay, so we have something from, I think, YouTube. Where can I buy Dr. Shiva's new book? It's up on Amazon. There's two new books that I published. One is called Deportation Theater, and then The Shadow, The Swarm. The second edition is out. I think if someone can look on Amazon, you can bring it up. Has anyone got sources to fight AI centers in Texas? My mom, who lives in county community, is fighting a new center being developed. Much appreciation for any leads. Yeah, so that's, who's that online call? Or Betsy. Betsy, we're fighting that. That's what this whole discussion was just about. In order to fight AI data centers, it's not just in Texas. It's a global issue. So it has to be done as a movement. And we have to go to the heart of the issue on who owns the means of production. And it has to be done in a broad-based way. So I think it's great you're getting involved, but get involved in this movement right now, because there is no United States senator that's fighting this. There's no United States senators using that megaphone to fight for this or even to articulate this. We're the only ones. So I suggest, we don't fractionalize our efforts or fracture our efforts, that you get involved here. That's what I highly, highly recommend. And you got to tell that to people. We got to get everyone geared for us to winning the Senate race. Because we have a movement behind the Senate race. We're not just me running for office. There's a whole global movement, international. So it's not just fighting the data center in Texas. Well, there's a data center going to be going up in Gurgaon, India, right? Where they're going to just deplete all the water. The data center going to be going up in Canada somewhere, right? So there's data centers going to be going, and all of this is being organized by a very finite set of people. Next. So let's take a hand count here. How many people here are making phone calls for us right now? If you can raise your hand, because I just want people to see. So Marianne, Gerald, Joanne, Anna, Joe Hirth, Diana from Texas, Lynn Hurdley from the United Kingdom, Doris from Michigan, Marianne from Arizona, Barbara from Florida, Gerald from Pennsylvania. I just want people to understand this is a global movement to get us elected in Massachusetts. Jeremiah from Minnesota, Mike from, is that Tennessee? TH, is that what that is?
Jason, Thailand.
What's that? Thailand.
Thailand.
Thailand. Yeah, Mike was a U.S. Postal Service worker here. Vicki Marshall from Wisconsin, Tracy McCormick from California, Eileen is doing an amazing job in New Jersey, Rose in New Jersey, Britt Lindgren. Let me see, can you go back so I can see everyone? Just go back to the, I just want to read everyone's names who's helping us. Can you go back to the grid view, please? Maybe we have to go like this. Yeah. We have Joshua Murphy from Washington State, Frank Marshall from Wisconsin, Asha from Singapore is helping us, Lori from Florida, Catherine from Oregon, Lynn Hurdley from, I guess, UK, Joe Hirth from Illinois. So anyone here, let's stop talking about theoretical stuff. We need you to get involved tonight. Go to Shiva for Senate, or in the chat, tell us where you are, give us your phone and email, and we'll have someone call you within 24 hours. Barb Hurt says, do you think at this point AI eliminates more the management and financial position, creates business plans, budget, as opposed to electrical work? Yeah, so that's what the research showed, Barb. Right now, like if you look at the people physically doing like digging a ditch, right? Or doing plumbing work or electrical work, as of now, that's going to be very hard to replace. But they're moving very, very fast, right? The idea is that you'll have about, for $20,000 or $30,000, you'll have a personal robot at home. And it'll have skill sets to do a lot of different things. But the first phase, to your point, all of these things that you could do with your keyboard and look up, that's all going to be gone. Okay? A small lawyer's office won't need to hire 20 paralegals, right? You'll have the lawyer who'll have one paralegal who'll prompt the AI to do that, okay? So it's going to be fascinating, but this stuff is going to come like a tidal wave that we've never seen. But all of it is being driven by technology, data centers, energy, computers, which are owned by a very finite set of people. And that's called the production means, the means of production. But everyone here who, you know, asked questions, I see other people here, Furman, you know, Tom Laurenti, Ayad, Barbara, you know, I need you guys to get involved. We have a limited amount of time. And us doing this gives everyone, Poe is out in, I believe, in Hong Kong or I think Australia. Noel's here. Noel's come down from California to collect signatures. He was here twice. Victor Booth. Everyone get involved. 1 hour a day. Do it Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Choose a time. Block it out. And we've made it really, really easy to do this. We've made it really easy. And people who are can say that I was shy or something like that, they're doing amazing work to help us. Joanne says, the senator, will you be able then to reinstate May Day, May 1st is Workers' Day, and also throw out the first ball to Red Sox game next year? Definitely. That's what we want to do, Joanne. Can we get the pledges to sign petition to get you on the ballot? Yeah. So one of the things we're going to do, Joanne, is all the people pledge, we're going to make it really easy. We're going to do a day at the office. We're going to send them an envelope, self-addressed envelope. They can get 10 people and mail it back. To everyone listening, we make it easy for you guys because the system has made people basically fat, dumb, and lazy. So in some ways, we're trying to get you off your butts, but we're also trying to make it easy for you. So from the comfort of your own home, you can use this technology to help. Make phone calls just for 1 hour. Yeah, so Joanne collected 150 signatures and did 200 calls today. And she works as a full-time, you know, naturopathic doctor. So no one has an excuse not to do this. All right. Well, it's really exciting times because our election gives people to experience what a movement is. So we have, you don't have to be a warrior scholar. You can get involved. Anyone can get involved. But our warrior scholars actually understand why you should do this, right? Why you should pick up the phone. That's actually a practical action. That's part of building a movement. The leaders in our movement have an even more important duty to get everyone mobilized. And we literally have 6 months to win a United States Senate election just by people power and technology. There's no other questions. It's 10 p.m. You know, every weekend we do a leadership meeting between now and then. I encourage everyone to get people as volunteers to make phone calls and get involved. Thank you, everyone. Be well. Happy May Day. We have allowed our country to be taken over from within, and the end goal is you will have a homogenized world where we will become slaves, because there is a condition among the elites that really thinks they're better than you, deep down inside them, that you don't deserve the freedoms you have. They don't. This reality is what people need to wake up to, and we need to all unite working people. There's only one movement that can do that. And that is the movement that we started creating here in Massachusetts, the Movement for Truth, Freedom, and Health. Look, I've been a student of politics since I was a four-year-old kid, studying revolutionary movements, left wing, right wing. There's a physics, there's a nuclear science to destroying the establishment. To build a bridge, you need to understand Newton's equation. You need to understand the laws of gravity. You need to understand Poisson's ratio. There is a way to build a revolution.
And that's why I put this together. My goal is to train a army of truth, freedom, and health leaders. We don't need followers like social media. We need leaders, but they need training because the educational system does not teach them history, nothing. So in 3 hours, that's what I've started doing. That's the solution. Wow. We got to train people first with understanding what a system is, the dynamics of all systems that affect nature. The second is understanding the interconnection between truth, freedom, and health. Freedom is the ability to move freely, communicate freely, talk freely. Without freedom, you cannot convert ideas, hypothesis into truth, which is science. And without freedom, you can't really get to truth. And without truth, you make up fake problems and fake solutions, which means you destroy our health. And without health, which is the infrastructure of us and our body, you can't fight for freedom. Truth, freedom, health. Third concept is it has to be bottoms up, working people, people who work uniting. And what the right wing has done is whenever you say working people unite, that must be communist. Meanwhile, they've let the Democrats run unions, which suppress workers, completely corrupt. But when you look at the arc of American history, it's been when working people came up. We need to go local. Every solution I'm coming up with is a part of this movement. We're giving the science, which is the truth, and then we tell people what they can do on the ground. Like with election fraud, you don't need to wait for some lawyer. Our goal is to train people to go local, to go local, to go local, fight locally. Forget lawyers, forget politicians, forget celebrities. You got to learn politics, and there is a science to it. They lock us down, we should be ready to shut them down. And the fourth part of this principle is the not so obvious establishment. So when you look at a system, there's always something that disturbs you from getting to your goal. Well, the biggest disturbance is the not so obvious establishment, which are those people who claim they're for you on the left and the right. The Al Sharptons who tell black people I'm for you, the Tucker Carlsons. Do you think any true anti-establishment person will ever be on Fox or CNN? I don't think so. They both mislead working people back into the establishment. Without this solid understanding of political physics and theory, you're screwed. You're going to follow on the left wing Bernie Sanders. Oh, he said something. Or Robert Kennedy. Scumbags. Or you're going to follow some right-wing talk show host. They're not going to lead us to liberation. It's us. We're building a bottoms-up movement. And that political physics, it's a nuclear science of change. Bottoms up. We have to organize to understand that there is people who talk a good game and then look at what they actually do, left and right. I'm sorry, Sean Hannity may say some good things, but I don't see the urgency in his voice to get something done. And it can only come when you weaponize yourself with the right knowledge. You need to be able to identify a rat. You know, Christ didn't go after the Romans, right? It was the Pharisees and the Sadducees who screwed him up. His own quote-unquote people. And that's where we're at. So these four concepts I've built into a curriculum where people can go to truthfreedomhealth.com, and it's an educational program. We need to train people in political theory. You need to have physics, and I've created that curriculum. People need to get educated. We need to get educated fast. And within a half an hour, I can teach people 2 years of MIT control systems. I teach people those concepts. Then I apply it. Anyone can understand it. And then you say, oh, I got to build a bottoms-up movement. They have to get politically astute, and then they have to go locally and act, not sit there on social media. They have to act locally, defy locally, do civil obedience locally, but with knowledge on how to build a movement. And the Senate campaign's expanded to the Movement for Truth, Freedom, and Health, and they can find it on truthfreedomhealth.com so people can sign in. They can get access to a bunch of videos. If they want to take a course and become a Truth, Freedom, Health leader, I offer a full scholarship there, but we want people to make a commitment that they'll study, that they'll get certified, that they'll go do activities on the ground. So go to truthfreedomhealth.com. Welcome to VA Shiva. VA Shiva is a product of my journey across East and West, science and tradition, ancient and modern, that brings you the science of systems so you can become a force for truth, freedom, health. VA Shiva is a platform of revolutionary education, community building, and weaponry for unleashing local activism. My journey to VA Shiva begins in the chaos of Bombay, where I experienced diverse religions, languages, castes, and in a small village that had no running water, no electricity, where my grandmother, a poor village farmer, practiced Siddha, an ancient system of Indian medicine over 10,000 years old. She observed one's face, The Art of Samudrika Lakshanam, to understand a body's unique constitution, allowing her to deliver the right medicine for the right person at the right time. Watching my grandmother heal others, I was inspired to study medicine, but I was also aware of the corrupt caste system of India, which denigrated a human being, where my family were considered low caste untouchables, where one's birth determined one's destiny. The grit and determination of my mother and father led them to get educated and to come to America, a one in a trillion event. Their actions inspired me to work hard and excel. While in ninth grade, I attended New York University in a computer science program, and subsequently, at the age of 14, was given a full-time job as a research fellow at what is now known as Rutgers Medical School in the heart of Newark, New Jersey. There, I investigated the system of sleep using mathematics, computer science, and biology for sudden infant death syndrome. It was there in Newark where I invented email when I was the first to convert every feature of the physical, paper-based inner office mail system, including inbox, outbox, memo, carbon copy, blind carbon copy, attachments, into its electronic equivalent, a system which I named email, a term that I was the first to coin. On August 30th, 1982, I was awarded the first U.S. copyright for the invention of this system, recognizing me as the inventor of email. At that time, copyright was the only way to protect software inventions. I went on to MIT, where I earned 4 degrees across multiple systems of engineering, electrical, mechanical, design, biological. That training led me to invent many other systems for advancing humankind. Echomail, the world's first intelligent email management system. Cytosolve, a computational biology system for eliminating animal testing to discover new medicines faster, cheaper, and safer. And to the creation of a whole systems methodology for certifying clean food. These innovations led me back on a Fulbright to India, where I discovered the missing link between Eastern medicine and Western systems theory, honoring my grandmother, to develop Your Body, Your System, a powerful tool that will help you understand how your body is a system and how the inputs of food, supplements, and exercise bring your body back to its natural system state. And Systems Health, an integrative educational discipline that is now integrated into the VA Shiva platform that will enable you to learn the science of systems, the science of everything, be it your body as a system or our society and politics as a system, to reveal the foundational interrelationships between truth, freedom, health. Now is the time for you to be the light, learn the science of systems, build community, and weaponize yourself to unleash the activism necessary to deliver truth, freedom, health in your local community. Welcome to VA Shiva.